All right, call our meeting, regular meeting back to order. I'm responsible for putting park board on. We've got a couple of members out there. As soon as they get in, we'll...
I told them.
We've got more than a couple. Good morning.
Morning.
As I was just saying, I'm responsible for jotting park board on our agenda. And I should have thought to talk to some of you guys first, but I was going through a stack of stuff on my desk, which I got a big old stack, those that have been in there know. And I came upon the letter from Mr. Blansett. I forget his last name. His grandfather was Blansett. And we had a big, huge issue about that road some time ago. And so I drove down there the other day and looking about, let me back up. One of his comments was he had called the landowner where Big Rock is, and the guy verbally gave him permission to go use it. But when he asked for writing, he never did get anything. And anyway, that's just the way it was. So anyhow, I drove down there, and we've mentioned this, kicked it around a time or two about having a county park on the, you know, a place like that on a creek for people to go to. And so I drove out there, and I'm not saying that might not still be an option, but we battled that road so much, and it was incredible. I was in Renee's Explorer, and I didn't know if I was going to get through them. There's two huge puddles. And got in trouble when I got home for why is my truck all dirty, too. But anyway, I also looked at it, and I don't know that that's even an option. But I got to thinking, partly because they've been before planning and zoning, there's the project right there on the highway. Altum is got a project there where they're hoping to build a shop office for their excavation business. And I don't have it here with me, but there's a little piece of property that's on the other side of the road that right there at the bridge that might be feasible for a park. And actually, my intent was to bounce it off of two other commissioners before I talked to the park board, and that's where I apologize for taking up your time. But that's fine. We're on parks. We can talk anything else parks. That, since you're here, I got to thinking maybe this is a good thing anyway. If you all got issues, other things, let's talk about it.
I have letters from the same gentleman, and I've also been contacted by a property owner that was upset with the road issue that said that he would be willing to have a park there.
Really?
Yep. And so
one of the two I'm talking about or different one?
It's property. Up the creek. It's up the creek, not the Blansett, but the guy that actually owns the property comes off from Big Rock on the
other
side. So, anyway, I'd be very interested in furnishing a deal for the public to be able to have access to that historical site that there's been numerous weddings and everything else. As a matter of fact, I think this guy mentions of all the places that he had the opportunity to get married or some of his cousins got married, they got married there at Big Rock. I mean, and the fact that it was used for 100 years as a public area for those kinds of ceremonies and things like that, I think it'd be great if we would have a park. And, of course, everything in that area would have to be bolted down and,
right.
And you know, the steps that we've taken for other areas that are unsecured areas, Jimmy would have to add it to his circuit, you know, for driving up there and stuff like that. But I'm 100% for it. And I'll hunt up my, I'll be like you. I'll have to hunt up my letters because I've got numerous letters from individuals there that are interested in it.
He wrote us, I believe, in April.
I've been one since then.
And I just came across it going through the stack. And the negative, though, and it'd be nice to be the place and the historical and whatnot, is if we did end up with something like that, we got that road to deal with.
Right.
every, you know, every rain, that kind of situation. The positive to right there at the bridge was, and I thought about the sheriff, because even if the road was good, it's about a mile back there, I think, or something. It's a pretty good little distance. It'd be better for the sheriff if it was right there at the bridge where you got eyes there every time the car goes by, and there'd be a positive there. But you don't have the history, as you said, and there's not a, I doubt, I didn't look at it, I assume there's not a swimming, much of a place to swim there. You
not
can
there.
Get out and get wet, but.
But there is.
But anyway, that was some thoughts I had.
That's a good thing to hash around. I think that's a good thought. And I think take it before our park board people and let them, if you're interested in it, I'm interested in it, Jim's
yep.
interested in it, have them visit that, and that would be a place like for possible building a pavilion. Might be a different style, and then that road is an issue that I think we're going to end up in a legal situation if we don't do something. There's residents up there, and it's been a county road all this time. So,
park board.
How many acres are you talking about?
Oh, it's not. It's just for one of our regular little parks. Yeah, the little ones like we've had before in the different locations. It's not anything for a big park. Not in that acreage.
I mean, one thing that we were talking about was the from a fairgrounds perspective. Are we going to look for a more permanent non-flooding area?
I don't know. I was only thinking the cause of that letter, and
okay.
only thinking about that. And my thought was it would not be a. Hopefully, it would not be a huge expense.
No, that's my.
Right.
Come up to the mic, if you would, Jack. Plop down here by Bob so everybody can hear you.
What would be the option on the Aremus property as far as leasing that land from the city? Anybody know?
I don't know.
Dennis, do you know what they were doing or anything? It'd make a great location for the fairground, the park, county park, and everything. If we get all three entities to somewhere or other, combine their efforts there.
We really didn't talk about what they're interested in leasing for, but I do know they don't want to sell it. Mm-hmm. They want to lease it.
But they did talk about leasing it?
Right. Did Ron Potter come talk to you about setting up a meeting with the commissioners on that?
On the Oremus Park? No.
No, I've already talked. I've talked to Ron about him opening. I've met with him about that because Jack and I talked about it, but. He clearly said they don't want to sell it. They're open to leasing it. I mean, they have a financial burden on it right now. Of course, the discussion of leasing depends on how long and improvements, and there's a lot of things that go into a lease. Obviously, you guys know that. So,
well, I told him if you would even consider a lease on it, it would have to be some kind of lease that couldn't be broke. By the next mayor that come in there and wanted to do something different.
Right.
And it would have to be like a 100-year lease or something. You couldn't lease it, a short-term lease. It
right.
To be, and it would have to be a binding lease. Like I said, it had to be something that somebody else couldn't come in there and change the next time the office changed.
Well, I feel like the county's put $50,000 on that project and nothing's happening on it. And that's $50,000 of wasted county money.
Back in 2008, after a debate, Mr. Hershen voted to put some money toward it.
That was the building of the ball field, right, is what that money was supposed to go for.
Well, it was to help out there. I don't know what it was actually regulated for. But now the ball fields need to be crowned. They took a dozer in there and they dozed it down, and it's never going to drain the way it is. And if you're going to build ball fields where the two locations are at, you need to build them right. It needs to have irrigation there to keep your grass from dying every summer. Underground irrigation, which isn't very expensive to put in underground irrigation. But I don't know, we've been down this road for 10 years or whatever it's been, and I think the three entities somewhere or another needs to get their heads together and let's get something done out there. We need a fairgrounds out of the floodplain. I mean, every time that it floods, and it's going to flood more often, I think. Well, that's just a lost cause and lost money to these people. And we definitely need ball fields for our kids on the east side of county. I mean, they can't get, their parents can't get back home, get them there, if even they can afford it. And there's so many kids out in Taneyville, Bradleyville, and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Those two ball fields would really benefit. And now we have the ground, enough land, since the city went ahead and bought some extra ground that's flat, that there's room to do a lot of stuff out there. And we're talking about spending, well, we haven't talked about spending anything, but we looked at a great piece of ground out of the M Highway that would cost a heck of a lot more than you're talking about leasing this ground here for, or whatever. This is close to the city, which we always want to keep the county fair close to the city, I think. I think it's this is the county seat. It needs to be close to the county, close to the city.
I got a question.
It just looks like an ideal situation if we could get everybody to get together and get their heads together on the thing.
Bob, and this is kind of a direction, and you don't need to have a full dissertation and prepared statements here, but how likely is it for us to have a long-term lease like that, preventing other administrations from breaking the lease? I mean, we're basically committing, we're basically saying we don't want it broken between us as a commissioner, and we don't want the city of Forsyth. Is that even possible to go that long in a lease with no exit? I mean, I know that we can't bind it.
You can only bind them for a reasonable period of time. I mean, this would be essentially a purchase is what it would be.
Basically.
And you may be able to do that, but certainly if you get together with Forsyth's city council and the county commission were of the same mind, at any time they could break that lease.
Okay.
I'm going to make a statement here because I was in Mr. Lumling, I see his wife back here, and we've been going to grandkids' soccer games, football, baseball. Alexander Park is a great location for all those events. I don't know how many people they stack in there to that thing, but parking is something that I brought to his attention right off the bat. He came up walking up by there and came up and sat down on the hill there. And you cannot get all the people parked in those. They were stacked three and four wide.
We had to make three circles.
Circle all the way around. They're parked in all the way around that facility, parked in a one row deal. And then they've got a parking lot on the top side that is two rows deep, and then they had over on the side where they don't even have parking, had them stacked in there three and four deep. Your statement about people over here needing a facility, there's nothing more accurate about that than people on this side of the county, because you see those people over there, and they are rush, rush, rush trying to get over there in those time frames. I'm all for the park and one big central park for the county, but I want it to be, if it costs us an extra $100,000 for ground to facilitate the parking, I want it to be there because it's such a hazard with all them little fellas and girls running around there and cars stacked three or four deep trying to get out of there. One accident could ruin the whole thing for everybody. So we sit there and there's park board members that go over there that have grandchildren and children and grandchildren that are over there, and it'll open your eyes. I think you have totally. And it's just you've got to have as much. Just looking at the situation, you've got to have as much or more parking than you do this area that you're using.
Well, when we have a fire down there, I don't know if you've ever been there when it's really busy, but we park everything from the fireground to that next campground underneath the 76 bridge. We park all that fuel. We park all of that campground over there by the tennis courts and all that. We park all of that fuel, plumb up to that log cabin, and then we park them in that old ball field across the concrete bridge.
Yeah, and you got the demo.
That's how much parking we have over there. How many cars we have during the fire.
You do that just on demolition night.
Demolition night, we can. Sometimes we have to do that.
Yeah. So
and we have all that in our for the fire.
That's where that's my main concern. And Jack and I have had lots of conversation about this, and we've done a lot of looking and all that kind of stuff to try to come up with an area. And we seem to be at a stalemate on trying to find, you know, we've got had the property in the Merriam Woods area that we looked at over there. We've had it at Hilda. We've had it at the old Remus property. We've had the other property that is out at a little more towards Kirbyville. It's really essential that we do the right thing on this and do it right. And I think if the county, and especially in these economic times, if we're going to spend the money, we have to make the right decision, or they're going to be standing there with the axes to cut our heads off of it, because we're going to have to make the right decision.
You don't think?
I've had several people comment on it, but I did not see it.
You don't think the idea I had of a three-lane road around the perimeter of that thing with diagonal parking every...
It'll just never cover it, Jack, from what we've seen over there. I discussed it with a couple of members that come over there.
What about if we had diagonal parking flaring both ways off it with a one-way down the middle of it? That'd be a lot of parking places, I would think. Somebody could figure that out, how many parking places be with a deal, but...
You just think how many cars you could park on the Swan Creek side of the park down there. I mean, we have car parkers in there. They park them in our straight, and they get them in there as close as they can get them. And that's a lot of cars. Mm-hmm. Well, we had 2,000 people down there for the Derby. That takes a lot of parking for 2,000 people.
By the way, I need to say something before I forget it. It don't relate to this exactly, but you know Elwood Wyman, I guess. He was over at Mincy Park about last weekend, I guess, or something. I don't know what was going on over there, but he said they really enjoyed the park, said it was really good and everything. He said that, but he noticed the American flag was really tattered bad.
I got emails on it all over the
end. And he seen my name on the end of the deal there and knew me. Of course, he's my daughter's father-in-law. And he said, well, I know him. I'll just call him, let him know about the tattered flag there, so... there was a concern of his. I don't know how many other people.
That was a class reunion that was held there at that. And I just happened to come by, and I was approached by four people there about the flag before I left. And the flag is tattered on the ends, and it's something that would come out of the vote of the park board to put the flag up in that paper. They were wanting to offer to put a little bigger flag there, too. That flag belongs to Tommy Howe. I mean, he put it up there just because they're patriotic people, and it needs to be replaced. Right. I've got the emails all over my email reel here about the flag.
But Parks Board come out of their budget or something like that?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah.
They're not too expensive, I don't think.
No. I know our purchasing person, we buy them, so...
But anyway, I don't want to get away from this other subject. I just thought it was in my mind. I forget stuff sometimes.
A whole email full of stuff here, so.
But I think our perfect option, I think, on land is if we can get that other out there that we've kind of been looking at, the 120 acres.
And where's that?
MM Highway.
Out here at MM.
Is that 20, 120, is that just 80? I understood it was just 80.
Well, I don't know. There's 80 lays along the road. I don't know how deep it goes.
Well, now, we've been had two different people working on it, and they both said it's 120 acres.
Yeah.
And they both talked to the people out there about the land.
It has great access. Mm-hmm. It has two state highways and a county road, the bulk of it. I can't think of any other place.
Well, it'd be a perfect place, but they were going to get a
appraisal
on it. Has that anything ever happened? Have they ever named a price? Is it something we can afford or not?
There's a park board member that's supposedly working on that. We just kind of let him be, and we may want to have a discussion about that at the next park board meeting.
I know we've been trying for something for about 10 years now, and we still haven't got anything done, and I think it's time that we need to, somewhere or other, get this something done. Yeah. I just get it's hard enough to happen.
My only thing is I'd sure like to look at a purchase versus a lease. We have a lot more ability, control, long term. Anytime you get two different governmental entities, you know, 10 years from now, they both might agree that they don't want it anymore, and I'd rather just have complete control. So I'd much rather try to find something we can purchase and make it permanent.
And purchase has two great big advantages. One is grants.
Right.
You have to own the property. And another is, and it came on the other day in a baseball deals about Home Depot and their choice this year of a park area that they would support and build a whole park in a community. And you send all your stuff in, and they'll furnish for the buildings and everything. Wow. Build you a park.
That'd be a heck of a deal.
And so it's Home Depot. It was in one of the National League Series or the American League Series that come on advertisement. So the grants and that in itself would be something that would really, really be something we ought to take advantage of while we can.
Well, if there's 120 acres there, you got all the parking you ever need. And like you say, the access to it is great. And it's flat. Mm-hmm. That's perfect. Piece of ground
it's got water and electricity there. I mean, it's got water all along two sides of it.
Sure, it'll be there for a long time, I would imagine.
Well, you know, the advantage to going together, if you're going to build ball diamonds and whatever, you know, for the park, and you're going to build a fairground, why try to build it in two different places when you're going to have 40 acres for parking, where you could have one 20-acre parking lot,
right?
You know, and cover both entities at one time.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're going to lease land, you're going to put a lot of money in infrastructure on that land.
For somebody else.
Yeah, on leased land. If you purchase it yourself and put it on RS1 land, you know, it's all you're going to do there.
I was worried about who's pro and who's con.
That's right.
On wanting to get rid of it or what. So
I agree it's better to have your own piece of property.
I mean, I'd sure like to own that property. I mean, I'll be honest, it'd be nice to own that one, but, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And I think that property is going to be around $500,000.
That's what, that's the number that's been floated around.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard. Mm. I mean, give or take.
Yeah. I'd say a negotiation one way or the other would be.
Okay.
But anyhow, that's where we're at on property.
Do you guys want, until we get more information, you guys want to move on? Or, I mean, I know you guys have waited a long time to come in and talk about this, but we...
Well, there's nothing we can make a decision on today, I'm sure, but...
We don't have it even posted,
just parks is all we have.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I want to move forward. I would like to lean toward purchasing versus leasing. That's just where I am. And the grants. I mean, I know one USDA grant loan is $500,000 toward infrastructure of a park.
Yeah.
If it's you know, arena seating, if it's built show buildings or whatever, so I know there's money out there, but we've got to own it. That's the only thing I do know.
That's the key.
Well, I think the biggest thing, we're getting to the point now that we know we're going to buy property if we find it. That's been the question, you know, was if we find the property, are we going to buy it? I mean, if we're pretty sure that we're going to buy the property, then we can start looking a lot harder.
I think we pretty well obligated ourselves on the piece that I felt like was taken away from us without our. By this time, I won't go into the subject.
Yeah.
You all know what I'm talking about, but I think we pretty well obligated ourselves to a
pretty well
figure within that range.
Yeah, that figure was in that range, I think so.
And see, our idea for putting the piece in the paper last week was that we felt like that most of the people in the county thought that we were going to buy a fireground or a park to put a park and fireground in. Something we weren't going to use once a year, going to have a little fire there once a year. Well, we wanted them to understand that if we get a fireground, it's going to be something we're going to use year round. We're not just going to have one little fire down there once a year. We can have car shows and swap meets.
Sure.
Whatever the people in the county want to have there. You know, you might not use it much in wintertime, but you can definitely use it 8 months out of the year for different events. That was our idea of putting the piece in the paper. We wanted to understand it. It'd be used.
And I think that location satisfies the FEMA deal as far as mileage from, like, cities and numbers of residents and all that. Or we might put a FEMA shelter in there also. And, I mean, I think that probably need to go ahead and talk to Ronnie and some of the other people that's been working on that and get a little more information on it.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do.
I'll bring her up at the park board meeting.
Yeah.
Thursday, or land for Thursday.
Is it this Thursday or next Thursday?
Fourth Thursday. I think it's next Thursday.
Next Thursday, yeah.
Okay.
It's the third Thursday, I think.
Yeah, if we could have all three of you there to kind of have input on it, it might be good. I don't know.
We've got Thursday. Is that when we have a review?
This Thursday?
No.
The following Thursday?
Yeah.
The 28th you're talking about?
It's the 26th.
Fourth Thursday of the month.
26th.
Okay. We've got that, and then we've got... When's the next public hearings?
You're talking P&Z?
P&Z.
So it's on Monday night.
25th, and the 26th is the FEMA one.
Okay.
28th right now looks...
All right. Okay.
Open.
So. We don't know until we start having Nikki work that calendar around where we're at. So
well, sounds like you guys have got a lot of meetings to end to. You're earning your money, ain't you?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your time.
Okay, and sorry we had you hang around this long, but I appreciate you being here.
That's good. Fine.
I didn't realize that was a closed meeting. I thought you were just too noisy out in the hall.
No. Okay. See you guys.
Thank you, guys. All right, what do we want to do next? I see three ladies back there.
Yeah, I don't know what they're up to.
I don't either.
Probably trouble.
ASR. Yep, that's on the agenda. Let's do it. All right.
I emailed you all.
This is the Flex program.
Yeah, the Flex.
Yep.
What they're offering now. Employees have been wanting a credit card, a card, so they don't have to have it come out. People get, like, they send out a check, and then they have to pay it out again, and then they're reimbursed. And ASI is offering for $1.50 a month per employee, which would be about $18 a month. They'll have the option of using a card, debit card.
$18 a year.
Yeah,
per employee.
Per employee.
Who would pay for this fee?
It can be either the employer or the employee.
And what this does is if you go to the doctor, instead of having to pay for it yourself and get reimbursed, you can actually pay for it right there with the card. And then if it's not actually a reimbursable charge, then you'd have to get charged back or something?
Well, if you go to the doctor and you use it, you take your credit card and utilize it, you send in your paperwork because you've got 3 days to send in your paperwork. If a chance it's not a legitimate expense, then the next time you try to go and use it, they'll send you a letter saying it wasn't acceptable. The next time you use it, it'll be $20 less than what it was. Like if I go out and buy glasses, the prescription glasses, and it was $240, and my copay was $40, then I'll only get $200 put towards that bill. I'll have to pay the $40.
They'll deduct it from your next payment.
Yes. And if a chance you don't turn in your paperwork, they will suspend your card. So they've got some, and with the new laws coming in, there's certain places that, like if you go to Walmart, you'd have to use it in the pharmacy area, not in the grocery store where you buy your regular stuff because of the coding. But, I mean, it's an option. Not everyone has to do it. He said, you could have some that do, some that don't. You only have to pay for those who do. If you want the employee to pay for it, I know personally I would pay for it. I like just being able to go ahead and do it that way. But that's just me. But it'd be not everyone has to do it. They can opt in at the time. But we have 35 employees right now that participates. And this might make it to where other people, because a lot of them have said, well, they don't like having to expend it out and then get reimbursed. So I just wanted to ask if you all thought this is something we might want to offer at our benefits fair.
Now, you've got 35 people that's also on your flex plan now?
Correct.
Wow. I thought it was being probably
Well, we're talking about the flexible spending. Now, on the pre-taxing of medical and stuff like that, there's a lot more of that. This is a whole different deal.
But the medical flex.
Yeah.
Sure. Right.
So, this, what I gave you, is the pros and cons of it. You can read it. I had emailed it, but I didn't know if y'all had gotten a chance to read it or not. But, anyway.
I have a concern with I know that you ladies that deal with that kind of thing all the time would use it properly. I don't know that the person out here that would use it and then be penalized with the $20 the next month, if that would work out fine for them. And are we going to end up in a situation where everybody would be...
not everybody's required to do it.
Same. No, but we're not going to jeopardize the ones that don't.
No, you shouldn't.
Are both of you in support of it?
I'm sorry?
Are both? I know you are. Are you in support of it?
I probably won't.
You're in support of it, but you personally won't use it.
I'm in support of it, but for me, I probably won't. I'll do it the old-fashioned way.
I know a few employees whose spouses have it, and they absolutely love it. This one does require, though, a little bit more than some do. This one does require that within 3 days you submit your bill. But you can now do that over the internet. You can come in. I mean, we scan it in there at our office and can just email it right on in, and it's wonderful. I don't have any problems with that.
Problem is the provider, some of the medical places, they don't have a satisfactory bill ready for you.
They have to have an IIAC, I think, or S. Yeah.
Here's
a
supporter.
Yeah.
So... the question, there's two questions. First question is, do we want to do it?
Correct.
The second question is, how is it going to be paid for?
Correct.
Well, I'm fine with it from a overall concept. The other debate is, do we pay for it? Do we pick up the $18 or part of the $18 a year per subscriber?
I think that, and if you think there's going to be a lot more of them, there's a lot of things that we've got to discuss during budget time.
I'm fine with doing the ASI program right now, and then we at budget time decide if we're going to pay for it or not. It is a form of a benefit, although very little. I have no problem doing the program.
The dollars is...
I mean, at this point, I would say it's employee 100% at this point.
Yeah, you presently pay a dollar something an employee for these you're doing now. It'd just be an additional.
If the employee opts for it, it costs them $18
for the whole year.
And if they don't want to do it, there's nothing lost.
Right.
See, I was thinking the county pick up $10 per person per year and just, you know, but, I mean, we're not talking a lot of money anyway, but...
Well, I'll write you a check for $8 right now if you do it.
Well, and what we're trying to do, the Flex program helps
the
employees.
Helps both sides.
And if you can help them a little bit more, they may have more participation, which...
Yeah, and a lot of people haven't done it because of this, because they just can't afford to have it taken out of their check, and especially now that the economy is the way it is.
But do we still, if we're going to pass it, we still have a motion to accept and to... So I'll move that we adopt the ASI Flex program for... Is it an annual? Is it an annual agreement? Is this... How does this work?
He said just to let... it's annual. Each year you'll just... We'll just... After you accept it, we'll just each year renew.
Okay.
So... They would come to Dixie's office and ask for a card to be made up?
No, what you do is when we have our benefits fair or a new employee comes on, is they'll fill out the paperwork for the ASI, how much they want taken out per year, and then they'll have the option of filling out, there'll be a paper to fill out if you want the credit card. And if you want the credit card, we can put on there that...
They'll send it to you in the mail or something.
They'll send it to you in the mail and you'll have it and... They'll give you the pros and the cons, and we'll give them the pros and the cons. And, you know, they do state in here the biggest problem is that the understanding of it. But,
that's,
I mean, most people
problem.
That have used it now know how it works.
The biggest problem is the 3-day deal. That's the way I can see it.
Yeah, for you it might be, but for me that'd be real easy.
But you can still get it even if you don't, the old-fashioned way, you can still get it.
Right, right. You can still,
right.
You know.
So I'm going to second your motion.
He's seconding my motion. We got a second.
Did that address the who pays for it?
Not yet. No.
Not yet.
But let me put it in my motion, and the county does not pick up any fee at this point. So it's employee.
I'll amend mine to a second. But.
Yeah, so it's employee.
As to the debit card, you're still picking up whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, as to the additional cost for the debit card.
Right. Okay, ready to vote? All in favor say aye.
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 Okay,
motion
thank
carries.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Moving on to the next agenda item, sir. It appears that we have overlooked, we have economic development posted. I think you asked for that one. And, yep. And then we have Bob Paulson's and Nikki's work session. And Nikki's work session, just for those grins and giggles, we are supposed to talk about nuisance cases. She had some updates on that, so we don't want to bypass it. We may want to just table it till after lunch and maybe shorten Frank's time a little bit. From an economic development, since it's posted, let me just jump into real fast.
I remember now what it was. Go ahead.
We originally had the job posted till the end of November. I took the liberty to call Mr. Tim Connell and ask him, is there any reason we can't shorten that up? And he said, fine, we can shorten it till the end of October. So I'd like to at least say at the end of October we stop taking resumes, get the IDA to pick our top three, and get this thing going. So are you guys good with shortening it? I mean, the process is still going to take, I hate to say weeks, but that way at least the IDA can know that they've collected them all, they can start going through them like they did last time and get us as soon as possible a list so that we can get everyone together and do the phone interviews again. I mean, even by saying now, it's going to take a little while to get all of those steps to get done. But
so you're actually asking to move it from November to October.
The end of whatever it was, November 30th to October 31st is the closing of our resumes. We've already had it open for 45 days.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
And Chuck, you're good with that?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll make sure Nikki makes those changes.
That'd be great.
All right.
Yeah, I noticed that the other day.
Yeah, go ahead. And that wasn't what you had posted, so.
Yeah, what I was had on my mind was what we call Joan's position.
Uh-huh.
That when she left, I don't know that we've done anything to replace what she was doing. And I've had one fellow that would be interested in that position. And so we need, at some point, we've got to need to address that. I mean, we budgeted for it. What are we going to do?
What we talked when Joan resigned in our discussions, we said that we were going to wait for the economic development director to make that to interview for that position.
Okay. I remember that.
But there is something I was going to talk to you, but we need to go back to the executive to do it. So about some of their budget and trying to address some of those needs too. I looked at their budget. They've got money they haven't spent that I'd like to talk about how we can possibly maneuver some of their budget money to get some things done over and above that falls into the community development stuff that Joan was doing specifically. But if it's all right with you,
When are you guys thinking about putting a deadline on that? If you're going to think about that position, or are you going to think about the executive director being involved in that position?
Joan's ex-position is really, we need to look at the budget. There's a lot of discussions. Do we need two positions in there? Do we need a full-time and some contract labor? Do we need the, basically we have three, we have budgeted for three people in that department if you look at all the money that we put in there. So the question is, do we want to have three going next year? That's more of a budget discussion, but there is some short-term money in there that would help fix some problems. What we have is two full-timers and two part-time positions we've budgeted, if you look at descriptions. And I'd like to talk about that in the executive with personnel and see if we get some ways to ways to maneuver the budget that way. It's hard to explain without going to executive, but
we don't have time here.
No, what I'd like to do is I'm going to go ahead and move that we table
Bob Paulson's session and Nikki's session to 1 o'clock. I know it's only an hour, but we're going to break, and then I want to make sure we don't lose our opportunity to extend it.
And Bob, I've already explained Bob's situation he talked to me about this morning.
Right.
With the computer.
I just want his executive session ability. Right. So.
Okay, I'll second the motion to table.
Okay.
All the papers say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, are we going to use that time? Are we expecting to use that time? If we are, we ought to let Frank know that we're going to be late.
Yeah,
let's just tell Frank to cut it in 30 minutes and have him come at 1:30 to start with you. Or shift it back a little bit.
Doesn't matter to me. We could have a short lunch as far as I'm concerned. But we've got T-Highway sewer issue, Jennifer Schmoke, to talk about.
Oh, is it on the post? I don't have it
posted at 1 o'clock, and I told her that it might be 1:30 or something before we got to her.
Do we want to just postpone Frank?
Well, or we could put Frank at 2 o'clock or something.
I just have a 3 o'clock in Branson I've got to get to. So
is that IDA?
3 no. O'clock? IDA is...
Tomorrow?
No, IDA is also at 3 o'clock today.
I knew there was an IDA meeting.
I had made this commitment a while back, so that's why I can't get out of it. But we can go as late as 2:30.
Why don't we do Bob and Nikki at 1, Smokey at 1:30.
And whatever we have left with Frank?
Frank at 2. He said when I talked to him Friday, he didn't think he had but 30 minutes. And I get you out.
If I'm out of here by 2:30, I'm in good shape.
Is it realistic that you're going to do Nikki and I
Yes.
Yeah,
we have to.
I don't think you're going to have hardly anything.
I'm fine with
no, that. Nikki is adamant that she says she's got she needs some decisions from the commission, so
okay.
We'll start with her.
I did want to ask you something, just to let you know when we go there. There was an issue with a couple of ladies concerning their grant that I didn't bring up last week, and I think I told a couple of you about it. I sure would like to at least start that discussion at some point.
All right, well, let's leave our agenda alone. We've tabled. Okay. Everything's available to start at 1 o'clock, or unless y'all want
to
take a short lunch. Or
I never know how lunch is going to go.
That's the same.
I get hit up.
Let's just stick at 1, because I'm going to have to walk across the street. I got to eat something, so.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, let's just leave it at 1.
Okay. We'll recess till 1.
Okay.